Good evening and welcome to Curtains at 8. I'm Joe Conkright, in for Nick Lawrence tonight. It's all about local music, homegrown sounds from Central Kentucky, and a program to honor some of the best that Lexington has to offer. David McLean joins us this evening. He's one of the hardest working musicians in town, hardworking because he wears so many hats, from guitarist to teacher to producer. David, you're back with us to talk about the Lexi, the Lexington Music Awards. Now, the award ceremony is coming up very soon, but right now we're in the process of the voting. Of course, this is an election year, so it's appropriate that we'd be talking about voting.
Well, ours, I should say, is an important election. This one counts.
Yeah, this one really counts. This is about shining a spotlight on the best musicians and music here in Central Kentucky. The voting is open.
The voting is open. Yes, the voting is open now, and we're gonna try to keep it open through the entire month of October. And when I say try, that's just because if we suddenly get inundated with 10,000 votes, then I have to go to my technology people on the other side and say, is this manageable? And if they say yes, we'll keep it open. If they're like, dude, it's out of control, then I'll go, oh no, we have to close it. But no, we're good. We're open right now.
Before we go any further, how do people go and find where to vote? What do they need to do?
Well, it is available if you go to Lexington Music Awards .blogspot.com. That's the official blog. It should be any time now up on our official website, which is LexingtonMusicAwards.org. It's not there as we speak, but hopefully, hopefully soon. And if you go to if you're on Facebook, you can just punch in Lexington Music Awards, and we have both an official page, and it's available there. A link directly to the ballot, and also we have the group, which has, I forgot how many people now, 1,200 people, who are all engaged in discussions when we do things, and it's available there as well. So yeah, a couple of places on Facebook and the two websites, and they go straight to it. It's a 4-page. Ballad, and it's got everything from best music store, best recording studio, things of that nature, to best guitar player or best horn player, and it's got best in style, for example, best rock band, best jazz band, and then of course it's got our special category that has Song of the Year and the Lifetime Achievement Awards, and we've got a couple of new awards this year, the Critics' Choice Award and Album of the Year as well.
It's the Lexington Music Awards, but it's my understanding that it's kind of Central Kentucky as well, because you've got folks that are sort of in the region. And
yeah.
So, obviously Lexington pools from all of these surrounding counties. So it's not just for folks in Lexington proper. It's Central Kentucky, in effect.
Absolutely. Yeah. When we started, we actually were calling it the Kentucky Music Awards. And that doesn't roll off the tongue real well.
Yeah.
Plus, to be honest, our outreach, trying to get to Bowling Green or something of that nature.
Yeah.
Those are sort
Monkey's
of
eyebrow. That's way down there.
So we opted for sort of the Lexington Area Music Awards, but we didn't want to confuse anybody with the Lexington Area Music Alliance, because the acronym would be the same, and they're doing great work, don't get me wrong, but we didn't want to give the impression that they were endorsing the program without their official endorsement. So we just dropped the area, and Lexington Music Awards tends to roll off the tongue a little better. Lexi,
yeah,
the Lexis, as people have been calling them. But yeah, absolutely. The Central Kentucky, we've had people, from Winchester and Georgetown and Richmond and Nicholasville and all that. So it's not just Lexington, but basically anybody who's within the area who would be playing in the Lexington area and Lexington bands as well who are playing out in other areas.
This is the third year for the Lexington Music Awards. It's grown from just a small idea into a situation where you have a big event, but not just one event. You have events throughout the year where you bring in artists and sort of give an opportunity to showcase the talent that's in the area.
Yeah, that's kind of the idea. We spoke before about one of the driving, motivating forces for even creating it was just the idea that if people are listening to one style of music and then there's, and maybe there's not as much of a scene at a certain time, they think the music scene is is not any good. You know, they're like, well, the music scene in Lexington is, and it's like, no, man, you're just, it's always awesome. You know, there maybe in a given year, country scene is really smoking, and the next year, maybe it's not as smoking, or the, you know, the punk rock scene is really smoking, and the next minute, you know, the next year it's not, or the jazz scene or whatever. But there's so many kinds of music, and there's such a concentration of talent here. And I've lived in other parts of the country, and of course, I was touring until a few years ago. So I've been to a lot of places, and I'm telling you, the concentration of quality talent is stunning in this area. And so that was one of the driving forces, was to kind of let everybody know it. So once we got the awards off the ground, we did the spinoff concert series, the Lexington LexiFest rather concert series. So we've had, I think the first year we had five or six shows, and this year we had five or six, seven shows. Which kind of culminated with the festival at Proud Mary's, where we featured 20 bands of all styles. I mean, we had the McLean Family Band, which of course is a bluegrass and traditional Appalachian music, and Miles Osland, who nationally or international, you know, name in jazz. Divine Karama from hip hop. We had a vocal ensemble. We had, you know, a world music thing. We had rock bands. We had country bands. We had, you know, I mean, just across the gamut. It was a pretty amazing day.
Something for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Something for everybody. And the nice thing about that is that a lot of people who would think maybe they don't like, say, classical, and we had a four-piece classical ensemble there, and I had so many people come up and go, I just, you know, I don't know. It seemed, you know, in the movies or, you know, and it's normally like, it's, I just had this impression that it was stuffy or something, you know, mm-hmm. and because all the pictures, you know, I'm dressed up in a tuxedo,
sure.
or something. And,
yeah.
and they were like, that was so cool, you
yeah.
know, and,
yeah.
and this is somebody who's normally listening to rock or normally listening to country or normally listening to whatever,
mm-hmm.
but had just thought classical wasn't for them until they experienced it live.
Yeah.
I heard the same thing, you know, with a lot of people, if they're, you know, they're like, well, bluegrass is really not my thing, or hip hop is not really my thing. And then they experience it live and they were just, you know, wow, man, this is amazing. I'm like, I know.
Yeah. So many people come up to me and they say, well, you know, I'll say, what kind of music do you like? And they'll be like, well, I like all kinds of music. You just look at my CD collection or whatever. But really, in actuality, it's still narrow. Like, it might be
rock,
like,
and roll.
Rock and roll.
Country and Western.
Country and Western. Or it'll be, you know, singer-songwriters in different styles or whatever. It'll be all vocal music, no instrumental stuff. So, you know, having an opportunity to see these different styles of music, like, for instance, a string quartet or something that they wouldn't actively go out and see, but having the opportunity to see that,
yeah.
be impressed by it. I think getting people out of their comfort zone, I guess, is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's exactly what we've tried to do at the awards show, and that's what we've tried to do at the LexiFest series. And sometimes we do a themed night, like we had a rock and rap night where we were over at Al's, or we over at Willis, we had the guitar night, you know, so something where it's just going to be, you know, some focus on a particular style or a particular instrument. But generally speaking, we are shooting for multi-artist, multi-genre. So that, you know, again, people are like, wow, you know, I wouldn't have gone to see that, but now that I have, because to be quite honest, that's what happened to me. You know, I come from mm-hmm. a rock and blues background and, you know, I played a little violin, so I'd been exposed to that and I'd been exposed to other things, jazz and whatnot, but I wasn't really deep into everything. And then, you know, through a series of events, you know, I find myself sitting, you know, in a room, you know, for a classical thing or a jazz thing or a bluegrass thing or whatever. And I was, you know, kind of that, what's the phrase, mind blown, you know,
yeah.
that's sort of the, and I just kind of, to be honest, I wanted to give that to everybody else too. You know, that was sort of presented to me and I wanted to help present that to everybody else. So, I think that people's music tastes are typically a little wider than sort of the corporate music world would think that it is, you know, because they were stunned to find out that Garth Brooks fans were also listening to AC/DC, which doesn't stun anyone listening to Garth Brooks and AC/DC. It just stunned a lot of the suits. But that said, I think your point is very valid, because that's still all vocal music, and it's still all sort of as good as it all is, it's still sort of radio formatted vocal music. And so when they suddenly are exposed to, let's drop all the instruments and do just a vocal ensemble. What? You know, or let's like get rid of the vocals and do an instrumental. What? I think that's a wonderful, it's wonderful to be exposed to that. I know it always, you know, did it for me. So
getting back to the voting process, the average person listening out there, they may not be as familiar with everything that's going on into the scene, but you still want to encourage people to go and vote certainly what they know to the best of their ability, because more participation means a better opportunity to get the very best up there to present and shine that light on the best of whatever category that people are voting on.
Absolutely. Yeah. If somebody is like, well, that's a great speech and all there, Dave, but I just, you know, I'm listening to whatever, then go vote for whatever that thing is. You know, if your expertise is in, you know, playing a given instrument, then go vote on that instrument. You know, if your expertise is in a certain style of music, go vote on that style of music. You know, you certainly don't have to. There's no requirement on the ballot that you vote in every single category. You vote for where you feel like and what you're comfortable with. And
And there's no cost in going to vote. This
no,
is
that's
like,
$100 a $100 a head. Daddy's got a brand new car. No. no cost at all. No cost at all. And we did that on purpose. To be honest with you, I did a lot of research before we pulled the trigger on this thing. And although I kind of got caught with my pants down in terms of the thing blowing up bigger than I thought it was going to be in the first year, there are a lot of awards out there where it's like $1 a vote, or it's, you know, $1 for the whole ballot, or even $1 per category,
yeah,
or something of that nature, where they're clearly raising money in that fashion. And I don't, you know, maybe it's all above board and legit, or maybe it's just someone pocketing a lot of cash. I don't really know. Maybe that's how they fund it. I mean,
yeah,
but I didn't want that. Mm-hmm. What I wanted was to make things as free as we can possibly make them. And when there is a cost associated with anything, that the cost be as low as possible, which is why the ticket cost hasn't gone up,
yeah,
for example. And it's why at the festival tickets were like $10 and you get to, you know, seven and a half hours of music and 20, you know, fabulous bands and all that, all for $10, you know. So it's kind of the same thing we're on. So, yeah, no cost at all.
Curtains at 8 on 91.3 WUKY. I'm Joe Conkright in for Nick Lawrence. Visiting with David McLean to learn more about the Lexington Music Awards. David, how did you get the moniker Skinny Devil?
It was about 20-some years ago, and I'd gone out to California. One of my good friends was getting married, so we go out there, and we were at the hotel, and I was getting a shower, and he comes by the hotel room, and I come walking out, and I'm in a towel, and he just stops and goes, "Good God, man, you're a Skinny Devil." Bank, and it stuck.
Uh-huh.
And so when I was naming the, you know, getting the website and all that, it was like, what the hell? Let's just go with that and see, you know.
It's a great brand name. I mean, it is.
That's what I'm told.
Yeah.
I wasn't even thinking that, to be honest. I was just thinking it was funny. But
well, David, you know, the kids these days, they're all about the brand. You know, I mean, that's the thing. You come up with the brand, and then you figure out what it is afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
See? You don't have to know what it is.
We a search engine or a skateboard company?
Yeah.
Figure
it out. You get the good name. You buy the web domain, and then you're done. You
know, that's right.
You figure
yeah,
it
yeah.
out what you do.
And if someone else has a better one, then you sell it to them for like $1 million,
yes,
just the domain name. And
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
David, you're the mastermind behind the Lexington Music Awards. So this will appeal to anyone that certainly is a musician, anyone that loves a musician or knows a musician or has a particular affinity for music in general, which should be a lot of people, I would think.
I would think it's everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I would think it's everybody, to be quite blunt. There's a reason that you walk into a department store and you hear music playing. There's a reason you turn on your favorite TV show and you hear music playing. There's a reason you go to the movie theater and you hear music playing. There is a reason you go to the sporting event and you hear music playing.
Yeah.
Everybody, whether they have an active or a passive love of music, I don't think I've ever met anyone who just hates music, who you know, comes out, it's just a bunch of noise, you know. I'm sure there's a few out there.
I think I've met people like that, and I'm afraid of them. I'm disturbed by people like that.
Yeah, Ted Bundy said he didn't like music.
I don't know.
Charles Manson.
Manson wrote music, that's a whole other story. But, yeah, no, I think that I think it's something that is good. For one, it carries so many things with it. It's a deliverer of memories. Music is.
It is.
Puts you in a place.
It's a culture bearing medium. It's personal at the same time. Mm-hmm. In that, as you say, it's you hear an old song, for example, and it has the power to transport you back to that time. You know, you hear, oh man, that was at my high school prom, or that was,
yeah. And on a local level, it's an expression of an identity for a culture in a particular place.
Absolutely.
And let me ask you this, David, because you've lived here long enough, you know, is there an identity in Lexington? Is there a particular, other than say bluegrass, which is obvious, mm-hmm. we're in the foothills of the bluegrass country? What do you think? I know it seems to change over the years.
I was going to say yes and no. I mean, if you listen to certain styles of music, obviously, like you said, with bluegrass, for example, are associated with the area.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I've been to I was in L.A. 20 years ago and at the wedding I was referring to earlier when we were chatting at the wedding reception. It was a bluegrass band, and it was a smoking bluegrass band.
Yeah.
I mean, they were awesome.
Yeah.
I think while music is certain types would be associated with the given areas, and so in part, yes, the Lexington jazz scene or the Lexington whatever scene may have, they sound very, Lexington or Central Kentucky or mm-hmm. Southern even,
yeah,
as opposed to say the same style of music from another place, for example, the Seattle sound or the Minnesota sound or something of that nature. I think there's some degree of that, but at the same time, there's also such massive diversity stylistically and I don't mean just between, the country band to the rock band to the jazz bands or whatnot, but I mean even within just the jazz world or just the rock world or whatnot, that is really hard to pin down, the location just by hearing it. It's really just amazing all the music that's here, which I hope we're really getting across to people,
mm-hmm.
Being in our third year when people come to things like the festivals or the award show itself and really see this massive cross-section of music.
It seems to me that as the winds of time change and artists get older and everything, things sort of evolve. Everything becomes country music when you get old enough at all. But no, it seems like Lexington has had periods where whatever was popular for a little while becomes popular in the town. Like there was a period where funk punk was extremely popular in the 90s. And then it seems like we're in an Americana period right now, which is one of those categories. It's really hardly even a category. It basically is just acoustic based, singer songwriter heavy, but a full band. The musicianship is great, but the songs are down to earth. Does that mm-hmm. make sense?
Yeah, and I think that's partly because it's also a national and probably international trend as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say international with some reservation because obviously the
well, you look at Mumford & Sons.
Exactly.
One of the most popular groups in that form and obviously big in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what I'm driving at. So certainly there are going to be there are going to be more of – and how do I say this? Accessible music, immediately accessible music. For example, it's not anybody can afford to go in and recreate a highly polished pop sound. So you're not going to have as many certain types of bands that require that degree of, or symphony orchestras. I mean, there's a lot of overhead just having that sort of thing.
Yes.
So I think anytime you have a trend and it's something accessible that you can play with, you know, a guitar and a drum and a, you know, whatever, then you're going to have trends like that. But the nice thing is that everything that I see here is that the bar is up.
Yeah.
You know, the sort of punk funk bands that were around for a while, for example, I mean, they were top flight. We're not talking, you know, the garage band version thereof. And I mean, of course you have those too, but I mean, they're it's not like there was one band.
Sure.
And it's sort of the same thing with the trend now. The ones that are doing that are just really, really good at it. Yeah. It's not sort of, you know, well, he's kind of doing, you know, it's like, wow, that's as good as,
yeah,
you know, what I'm hearing on the radio or seeing on TV or, you know, seeing at a big concert hall.
Which is why you want to have awards to celebrate the quality of these artists and bands.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's, and a lot of times, Joe, I think a lot of the people voting are not necessarily – I think we make the mistake, and I should probably do something about this, and that mistake's on me. When we write things on the awards like best guitar or best jazz or best – because I think a lot of people view it as, you know, so-and-so is really stepping up to the plate and gigging a lot, and they put a record out, and they're really working hard. They're not necessarily, you know – the best in some – because there's no – I mean, it's not a foot race.
No.
You know, it's – there. It, all of it's very subjective. And so I think a lot of it is just this band or this individual or this store or this studio,
mm-hmm.
they're just really working it right now. And I feel like they need to be saluted for that. Whereas, you know, maybe this other band is kind of, you know, in low gear right now and – you know, maybe they've been around doing it longer. You know, maybe they can play their scales faster, or maybe they're selling more merch, or by whatever standard that a store or an act or whatever would be, you know, whatever metric they're being judged by. But I think there's a lot to be said for when someone's just out there working it. You know, just sort of I'm the ambassador of you know doing whatever, and it's so I think a lot of people vote on that criteria, not so much, you know, this person can play, you know, like I said, scales faster, or this store is selling more gear or whatever. I think it's just really whoever is inspired and inspiring at a given moment, which I like. I kind of dig that.
How long do people have to cast their vote on this ballot that's online, ready to go?
The filling it out takes about 5 minutes, and we'll be on throughout the month of October. I'm going to try to hold it over longer if I can, but at least through October.
And again, how do people go and find it?
Well, they can go to LexingtonMusicAwards.org. They can go if that link is not up by the time they hear this, then also LexingtonMusicAwards.blogspot.com. Which is our official blog, they can go to Facebook and punch in Lexington Music Awards, and we have both an official page where we just have information up, and then they can also go and join the group if they would like and actually get engaged in the discussion when we make changes, like the changes we have for this year. We're actually going to have a professional panel who will be adding a name. We have added a couple of awards, the Critics' Choice Award and the Album of the Year. So when we have discussions about, you know, like next year, are we going to have bluegrass, for example, as a separate category? Are we going to add harmonica as a, you know, as another instrument, category, things of that nature, they can come in and make their voices heard. We had a lot of people say, well, you know, you've got hip hop, for example, but you really need to have the DJs separately, you know? Okay, well, let's talk about that. So they can actually come in and have a voice in that as well as just going in and voting. But if all they want to do is vote, that's fine too.
This is all leading up to the event itself, the big event. And what's the date for that?
January 29th. That's a Sunday, January 29th. Falls in between playoffs and Super Bowl, so it won't interfere with with
that's
football
good to
season.
Know. At the Lyric Theater.
At the Lyric Theater, yes. It runs roughly 6 to 8. We managed to come in both years right about 2 hours or just a hair over. But yeah, at the Lyric Theater, limited tickets. It only has 500 some people there, and we sold out last year. So our first year, I clearly didn't pay Bill Meck enough because he let it snow, you know, first year.
It was a terrible, terrible snowstorm with ice and just, you know, right up until the moments before.
It did.
And
yeah.
People weren't sure if it was even going to happen, but it did.
It did happen. And we had 400 people in the building, and I think we'd sold about, you know, 40 tickets beforehand. So everybody came out the day of and bought their tickets the moment of and came right on in and just made me a happy puppy.
Yeah, that helped. Is it going to be filmed for broadcast?
Yes, we hope so. We had some sound issues last year, so we did not put the video out, but we actually captured it last year. We didn't the first year. The film crew got caught behind the ice,
so we didn't get
that one done. But yes, it will be filmed. So that we can put out clips of the performances and things of that nature mm-hmm. later.
Any thought of actually rebroadcasting the whole event on a local station or anything like that? Any talks of that?
Not really. Not at this juncture.
Not yet.
You know, that's something we could perhaps do down the line. I kind of like the idea though of people
having
coming
to be
out and being there. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of that's sort of the idea. Is you know, like when people came out to the festival, you know, you got 1,000 people there. Looking at, you know, these different kinds of music and going, wow. And I think something's lost in translation when you're looking at a flat screen
mm-hmm.
and unless that's coming over a really good sound system,
yeah.
you know, then I think some of that gets some of that, you know, because we obviously have musical performances and it's a diverse array of musical performances.
It probably would require multi cameras and the whole thing. It would probably be complicated.
I think we had 3 or 4 cameras on it last year, so we'll film it again. But I think what we'll likely do with that is just, you know, put out the performances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really think we would put out the entire thing. And maybe even just tastes of the performances. I don't know. We'll talk about it, you know. But if somebody has an opinion, come on over to the Facebook page and tell me what you think. And, you know, no, do put it out, you darn you.
That is the nice thing about this is it is evolving. You have new ideas. So when people go to the Facebook page, they can communicate with you and others and sort of get these ideas out to try to present the best event possible and the best way to do these kind of
absolutely. Because the reality is, I'm a ringleader. I produce the show. I don't vote, of course, because that would sort of defeat the purpose that I'm going to vote in the thing that I created, and only I can see the ballot. So no, really, I promise. I don't vote in it, and I produce the show. But the reality is, the show wouldn't be half as good if it were just my ideas. I'm fully aware that I'm not the smartest guy in the room, and I'm fully aware that even if I were, you have 1,400 people weighing in, they're going to have better ideas is the bottom line. And so I want it to be – it's supposed to be a community award program, you know, and so the idea is for the community to be involved not just in the voting but to make their voices heard on how they think – the how can we make the show better? You know, what new awards do we have to have? How should the thing be lined up? You know, well, you did a really good job on this, but wow, man, this thing over here wasn't so good. And so most of the reality is, as much as I'd like to pat myself on the back and say, yeah, I'm awesome, look at what I did, the reality is I really didn't do very much. What I did is I got the ball rolling on something, and then I relied on the ingenuity and the talents and the passion of 1,400 people that got involved, and then at the end of the day, I make the call on it. But if it's wrong, then it's clearly on me, and if it's right, it's clearly not on me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, because it wasn't my idea. At this juncture, you know, a continually decreasing percentage of the ideas you see on stage or that we're talking about are mine. Most of the ideas at this juncture, overwhelming majority of the ideas, have come from the community, which is exactly, you know, what we want. We want people coming up with those ideas because, again, they're going to be people with better, you know, more knowledge in a given area. There's a lot of moving parts to this type of thing, and so we want that involvement, and that's what's going to make it grow, and that's what's going to make it better than I could ever make it on my own. It's already better than I could ever make it on my own, and I suspect it's just going to keep on getting better from here.
just like any voting process in anything, it only works if you participate. If you don't participate, you don't get to complain about it, okay? You have to participate. You have to go and vote. Of course, the Lexi keeps getting bigger and bigger. This is the third year for it. David, congratulations on the good work you've done so far and the first two, and it looks like this one hopefully will be bigger than ever.
I think it's going to be bigger. I think it's going to be better. I think we're well on the way, again, precisely because it's not they're not my ideas. I think we're well on the way to having the best awards program in the entire country. And that speaks a lot to the talent and the passion and the ingenuity of the community right here in Central Kentucky, right here in Lexington, and their willingness to come out and go, no, man, that was a dumb idea. You need to do this. And you know, the only pat I'll give myself on the back is that I'm smart enough to know that I'm not smart enough to do it. So I go, you're right. Let's try it your way. My way clearly didn't work. Let's do it. And I think in doing that, we can raise the bar and really have something to be proud of as a community as well.
One more time, the website?
LexingtonMusicAwards.org or LexingtonMusicAwards.blogspot.com or simply in Facebook, look up Lexington Music Awards and go to the page or go to the group and get involved. And in any of those, you can get to the ballot and vote and tell your friends to vote. And,
yeah, you know, have through October to do it. David, thank you so much for coming and talking to us on Curtains at 8 here on WUKY.
Thank you, Joe.
Participation is the key. If you love music and you love Central Kentucky, you can put your opinion to work and help decide the best of the best for this year's Lexi Awards. You've been listening to Curtains at 8 on 91.3 WUKY. I'm Joe Conkright from Nick Lawrence and all of us at WUKY. Thanks for listening and good night.